Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What would happen if everything we rely on, phones, internet, banking, communication, suddenly stopped working? Well, in this episode of This Week in America, I welcome back author, business strategist, and tech expert John Mariotti to discuss his gripping techno-thriller, The Chinese Conspiracy, a story that feels more like a warning than fiction. The novel begins with a small-town mystery but quickly expands into a global crisis as a cyber-terrorism plot unfolds, one capable of shutting down entire communication networks and bringing modern society to a standstill. But this conversation goes beyond the book. John shares insight into real-world vulnerabilities of our increasingly digital world, where cyber warfare, hacking, and technological dependence create risk many people just don't fully understand. Why our independence on technology could be our greatest weakness. Fast-paced, eye-opening, and thought-provoking, John explores a question we rarely consider until it's too late: what happens when nothing works? We welcome back John Mariotti to today's program. John, always a pleasure. Scare us a little bit for the next few minutes on the program today, giving us reality, and sometimes it's like, wow, we could be headed in the wrong direction. Thanks for being back with us on the program. Much more to talk about. You mentioned AI on the last program, and we actually talked several times about that. Talk about AI. That's something that scares people and encourages people, other people. Some people are encouraged as well as scared by it. Should we be concerned about AI, and do we have the guardrails up for AI?
Oh, you set up more time to talk about that than we have time to talk about it, unless my wife gets home and wants to go out to dinner. but thank you, Rick, for having me back again. Because
a pleasure.
The irony of this is this: I wrote this book, and it was published. It's over a year old now, but it's as current as it could possibly be because I made a decision when I wrote it, and that was I was not going to try and make it a technobabble book, which baffled everybody with brilliance, because I don't have that much brilliance. I'm just a plain old guy that found this thing on accidentally, and it scared the heck out of me. So I decided to see if I could spread some of that around so people could tell me what to worry about. So I'm gonna do a preamble here. This is a book and a story. I encourage people to buy the book and read it. It is not a super techie book. It's a story about human beings,
yes,
and the trouble that they find in their world, and who's causing it, and what they try to do about it. And it's one of the little guy takes on the humongous guy, and that's, all Americans love that kind of story, I think. And so I'm encouraging people to go get the book. It's now available in all formats. It's in audiobooks for people who don't like to read. They want to listen. It's in a hardcover. It's in a paperback, and it's in an ebook. So if you, no matter how you want to get it, you can get it. I'm going to take you back to where we picked up a month ago, a little month and a half ago. About a month and a half ago, Chinese hackers had figured out how to break down Anthropic's Claude, which is their robot, so to speak. And Claude is a really powerful one. Anthropic is one of the biggest AI companies around, and they're making tremendous news. You can't hardly pick up the paper without reading something else about them. And they're having all the typical fights that techies have when they're developing who's going to be the king of the world when they're done. And they don't know yet. But after that month ago, or six weeks ago, the first thing that happened when I got back to reading what was going on is I got calls from everybody said, what you said was going to happen is happening. I said, no. They said, yeah. It turns out that by an accident of fate, Amazon Web Service and Verizon and a couple other people made a mistake. Human error is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
and so they shut down for like 12 hours about two-thirds of the internet accidentally. And my friends are all saying, that's what you said. I said, no, it's not. I talk about malicious purpose. This was just ineptness. Nothing like a big network and people who make mistakes to keep everybody on their toes, because nobody knows what goes on inside this AI black box. If you want to worry about something, AI is this giant black box which is constantly evolving, and it's got new things coming into it every day, every hour. And there's so much being written about it and so many billions of dollars being thrown at it that it's hard to imagine what's going to happen. I'm trying to take people where they, I told them last time where they, I thought this was going to head, and it headed right where I predicted. I wasn't brilliant, I was just observant. They now, Anthropic, who is the big AI company, one of the big ones, there's about six or seven of them, and I could tell you all of them, it's Grok and it's AI, and Anthropic is now doing previews to help other people find bugs in their systems. I think that's interesting.
Yes.
How about that? Your AI vendor is going to tell you where the bugs are in your system. Okay. But what they point out is important, and that is that cybersecurity researchers and software makers worry that AI is becoming so good at exploiting these bugs and vulnerabilities that it could spread online disruption. That sounds like something we're talking about? I think so.
Exactly.
And they have other people say that potentially dangerous things such as finding and exploiting software bugs at present plans to release to the general public, and this is where we get in fun. When pros are doing it, they're devious and skillful. When amateurs are doing it, it's downright scary. You know, I remind of my car. I got a Mercedes a number of years ago, and they had all this nice shrouding in the hood, and the hood release broke. So I called my maintenance mechanic, and I said, I need to fix this hood release, because what am I going to do if I'm on the road and the car stops? He said, well, let's play this one out. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to try and use the hood release. I said, I won't be able to open the hood. I said, if you get the hood open and you look at all those electronics and all those shrouds and everything, then what are you going to do? And he started laughing almost hysterically because he said, you know, come to think of it, you don't have any idea what you do. In the old days, you could fix things with the pliers and a screwdriver. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, that's sort of the way we are with AI these days. The capabilities are far exceeding our ability to manage them. That's a phrase people should remember. Because hacking isn't just about a bunch of guys on computers in China or anywhere else. Hacking is about people doing things for either malicious or selfish reasons. And, you know, we're having a little problem with China and Iran and a few places these days. And they can't avoid this either, because China's having a tough time because the oil has been constrained to them. So they're not getting enough oil to keep. And I didn't realize that all the oil that goes to China, it isn't pumped over there. They have no oil. It has to come in on ships, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Think about that for a minute. How about
old
school?
Yes.
Now let's go to where it gets really scary. When these people who do AI stuff, they're so good and they're so brilliant, they create these bots, short for robot, for people who aren't techies. And the bots now have taken to fighting with each other. Yes, you heard me.
Fighting with each other.
And bullying humans. Because humans, the bots are so believable, the humans tend to believe them. And there's a recent news article. I couldn't find it in time to cite it, actually, but the recent news article pointed out that this is such a pervasive problem that now they're talking about putting guardrails on AI. And the reason they want to put guardrails on it is to protect young people from inappropriate things that they can get into an AI, whether they want to or not, and even if they want to. And I'm not pitching another guy's book because it's necessary, because it's good. A brilliant author named Michael Connelly has written about 30 great books.
Yes.
And you probably have interviewed him sometimes.
Several times.
And one of Michael's books was about the space between the reality and the actuality of what's happening in a legal negotiation. In this book, and I'm not going to spoil the book and tell people how it comes out because it's a great book. In this book, a young person becomes so convinced that the bot who is communicating with her is real, and it's a young boy, teenager, and a woman's voice, that he's convinced that this bot is doing terrible things to him. And as a result, he seeks out whoever he thinks the bot is most like that he knows, and chooses to eliminate that person from the face of the earth. That's a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, very scary thought.
And that what takes us the next step beyond that is, and this is where I got to stop after I give up too much of the story, they start taking the bot creator to court to be tried for murder.
Interesting.
Now, that's not something out of a science fiction story.
Wow, yes.
Think about that. A bot is not a real thing. A bot is a bunch of algorithms and code. Now, the way I tie this in with the whole hacking thing is that this is exactly what hacking is. Hacking is about writing code that makes the reality different than what it otherwise would be. And AI does that beautifully. And therefore, there are many instances now where AI bots, that means robots, think of hackers,
yes,
whatever you want to think of, who can write code that's so realistic and convincing that they can actually bully humans with it, cause fear. I mean, what's bullying but nothing but fear of consequences?
Yep. Yes, yes.
So you can quickly imagine how that goes off the rails. And the problem with AI, and I'm going to use this phrase a lot, nobody knows what happens in the black box. Really.
Yes.
It's being evolved so fast. It's changing so fast. It's being rolled out so fast. Why? Because there's so much money chasing it. Rick, think how many billions of dollars have been bet already on AI.
Oh, you read some of the numbers, and it is billions. I don't fully understand all of this, but it's like, this is really important because they're just throwing money out there at all of this. Billions.
And take the next step now. The next step is very logical, and that is AI, when used right, it's an incredibly powerful tool.
Yes.
It will allow you to do sorting and organizing of things many thousands, millions of times faster than humans could. It'll allow you to do things that whole department. I have a friend or an acquaintance that runs a healthcare system, and he told me that they created a mini consulting company in their healthcare company. I'm not telling you who it is, so, you know, nobody can track him down, in which he's got about five of the best and brightest people in his IT function who are using AI for, number one, diagnosis of healthcare things, because it's way
yes.
better than just the doctor reading all the symptoms.
Exactly, yes.
You can imagine if AI can go through and think everything ever happened to you, it's in the records, and a lot is in the record that you probably don't even know about, and then looking at potential solutions. It's a matching game, and AI is perfect for that. You have a headache, this symptom, that symptom, that symptom. Ah, let's find those, see what the correlation is. See what the remedies are. AI, in fact, Grok was named in particular one AI. Grok may become your doctor, whether you want him or not.
Yeah.
Because of the diagnostic capabilities, and you want to use them. Now, companies are saying, okay, people, if we're going to hire you in this new world, you need to be ready to use AI at work from the get-go. And that taking a whole new direction in terms of what you do in hiring, interviewing, and training people. Because exactly, we've talked before, one thing that I do for my philanthropy is working with Rotary and doing things for young people who are in trouble and need jobs and need to find jobs and stuff. And part of the challenge is you need to interview them. But when you look at things now, we have to tell them, no AI essays, please. We want the essays to be in your language, native language. We have about 20 languages spoken in the Columbus school system. In your language, translated into English, but no AI. And the way you can tell, once you learn the telltale signs of AI, you can recognize
them. Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, I think you know that you talk to more people smarter than me that you can diagnose it if it's an AI.
Certainly not many, if any, but yes, you can after a while detect that, okay, that is AI inspired, that's written or AI produced voice, or you can sort of see a pattern as you go through that. How would you like to be president of a company now and have this whole new frontier coming in, all of these opportunities with AI, you've got to sort through these. Some of these eliminate people. Some of these will drastically alter what people do. How challenging is it to be in top management now to sort through all of this? And what you decide today, next month at this time, maybe something else comes along that's even better.
Absolutely. In fact, the this one, I started to grin until I thought about it. This is a Wall Street Journal article. Bots start socializing and things get weird.
Well, okay. Yes.
Some, you know, he's talking about a coder built something called Moltbot and unleashed it on the world. People have created their own AI assistant bots through his project. He renamed named OpenClaw to make phone calls to restaurants for dinner reservations, operate their email accounts, and take on an array of assistant work jobs. Then he started talking to other bots. And they start talking to one another. Well, when they couldn't get the restaurant reservation they went outside of their network and used different bots. And off, I mean, the story just goes on like that. It's one of the most amazing sci-fi things he'd ever seen, was what he said. Because the more than 1.6 million AI agents have joined the site and posted 500,000 comments. This is an article out of a Wall Street Journal paper. This winter, this is in February.
Just amazing. If you're just joining us, our guest is John Mariotti, back with us on the program, the author of The Chinese Conspiracy. We're talking about what happens when nothing happens, and that's the basis of the book, and we're talking about how realistic this is and what's happening in real life. What happens? Do we ever get to the point where the bots basically decide to take over? We give them a project now, and then tell them when it's time to stop, and the bot decides, no, I'm not going to. I mean, should we be fearful of them?
Yes, absolutely. Anything, first of all, the first rule in life is anything that is too good to be true or doesn't make sense to you is probably either not true or doesn't make sense in the factual. I mean, yes. That's the first, with it. If it counters you, don't just set aside human logic and human knowledge for just because it came out of a computer. And I can tell you, you and I know, we've both been around a long time. I can tell you times that we built remarkable programming and forecasting algorithms. And then we tried to use them. And they were so complex, we couldn't remember the assumptions that we put in them. So we didn't, when we got a really weird result, we didn't know whether to believe it or were things going to go really weird on us. Now think about that. I'll tell you, I have a solution for listeners, and the solution comes right out of The Chinese Conspiracy. The Chinese Conspiracy is not a book about technology. Technology just happens to be the boogeyman. It's a book about human nature. It's a book about patriotism. It's a book about a small group of people seeing something that's just not right and trying to do something about it. It's about people who fail to do something one time and are trying to remedy that, have redemption. It's a book about getting allies that work with you from unusual places, like an old girlfriend or a son who just got out of the service and was trained by the military to do some of this stuff. And all of this is, I tell people, when you're making decisions these days, the first rule I learned a long time ago was make reversible decisions quickly and irreversible decisions very slowly. And that goes for decisions about things that you either don't know about or don't believe. And if ever there was one that was like that, it's just because it's printed out of, I could name 10 of the AI companies, whether it's Chat or Grok or Anthropic, just because they put it out in a nice, neat form with great language does not mean it's true or accurate or reliable.
Yes.
Ironically, Rick, did I just describe how people are?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Perfectly. Yes.
Don't despair. Now, there's a problem that, so you asked the question, and I'm getting to the point you asked about. There's a thing called consciousness. And in this pile of things that if we want to talk about, I'm a collector of knowledge from people that are smarter than me or have more things to say about it than I do. And consciousness is the big discussion point with AI. When does AI get consciousness? Because that's when it gets a conscience, and that's when it can go off the rails, and that's why they talk about putting guardrails on it.
Yes.
And that's why you're going to hear a lot of talk about legislating guardrails for AI. Why? Well, because the role of government correctly is not to talk about money or spend money. It's about doing things that we can't do for ourselves, like taking care of ourselves. That's all the things that government got created for back in the day of the founding fathers, were to put in place things that the people could not do for themselves.
Yes.
Well, there you got it. Now, consciousness is a tougher one, though, because consciousness is a mixture of facts and emotions and all those things that are really hard to manage. But so are people. You know, and somebody says, well, what am I going to do if this time comes? What do I do about that? I said, well, don't abandon, my wife would love it if I'm saying that, don't abandon good old common sense. She's big on that.
Oh, yeah.
She says it isn't very common anymore, and a lot of people ought to use it more.
She's right on both counts.
So if you think about that, you know, when people called me frantically about this, about that my book was coming true, and it was really just a mistake between Amazon Web Services and Verizon, I told them, I said, don't freak out. This was not malicious. This was accidental. On the other hand, I had a taste of it myself a week ago, 10 days ago.
This is interesting. We've talked about this, and I wanted you to be sure to mention this because you had, from a personal standpoint, what happens? Neighborhood meeting, everybody comes outside, wonders what's going on. What all did you lose? And you had a sense of what it's like when nothing's working.
We got a taste of it. I wrote the book fictionally because I knew that it's possible. I had done enough homework that everything in the book that I write about is possible. In fact, for those people who do want to talk techie talk, I put a glossary in there. It's only about 5 pages or 4 pages of all the terms of description, so you don't feel like you're being fogged with stuff that you can't understand. You can understand it all. But the point is, my wife and I were sitting here on the lanai booking reservations for next Thanksgiving because we like to take our family, or as many of them can get away from their jobs nowadays, because most of the kids and grandkids have jobs and they have to get away. So we pick Thanksgiving week. And we say, come on Tuesday, leave on Saturday. You'll only miss a couple days of work, if that. And they probably give you time off on those days anyway. And so we're on the line with a cabin in Smoky Mountains, beautiful cabin. And we're just about to finish the reservation we're making there, getting over the shock of how much they raised the price for those cabins.
Yeah, for that time of year.
That week. Like, how much is it? But it's, you know, it's a 5-bedroom, 5-bath cabin in the Smoky Mountains with a view up on the mountain. So it's a neat place. And the lady is saying, okay, now you have to check 4 things here to close this down. And she told me how much. I knew that. I said, I have a credit card number. I give you that. You want me to give you that over the phone? Yes, you can give me that over the phone. And she gave it to me. And she said, you're going to get a confirmation of that. When you get the confirmation, you need to confirm. That's right. I got the thing, and when I clicked the box to confirm it, nothing happened. That's odd. So she's on the phone with me. I said, nothing's happening. She said, well, try it again. She said, what are you using? I have, take your choices. I have a MacBook, I have an iPod or iPad, and I have an iPhone. Which one should I do it on? So we went and tried on another one. Same thing. Click the box, nothing happened. So she said, well, first let's get some other stuff out of the way. You need to send me the picture of your driver's license. Okay. So I go in my photos and I find one and I save it. And I put it in a text message to send to her. And I click the box. You know the answer. Nothing happened.
Yep.
Nothing happened. What's going on here? She said, well, that should be easy to do. I said, yeah, I know. I do it all the time. I send people photos all the time. It should be really easy to do. She said, well, let's try another one of these things. You have to sign the contract. You know, DocuSign, sort of. It wasn't DocuSign, but it was another one of those. So she sent me the link for that. You know the answer. Click the box.
Yep.
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Now, this is taking, normally to get that amount of my money, it's very quick and easy for them. In 5 minutes or 7 minutes,
yes,
got it done. We are now on the fourth technical approach to it that we have, and still not working, and it's like 40 minutes away. Now, this lady, I'm sure, is freaking out because she's got a very big dollar sale here that she wants to close out.
Yes.
And it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it won't work. So I said to my wife, I said, what's wrong? So finally, I got an old photo to go through. I don't know how I did that. I guess I put it on. I know what happened. I had my phone set up for a hotspot. A hotspot is for those people who aren't techie on cell phones. You become your own cell phone server so that you don't have to rely on your Wi-Fi server for doing it. And most of the services offer that. And so I could put that photo in there and I could text it to her on my cell phone, which as a hotspot would still work, but only because it was a hotspot. Because my phone didn't, otherwise my phone didn't work on Wi-Fi. I've set up to go to Wi-Fi when I'm not. People that do this much understand all these things. You set up to run your stuff on Wi-Fi because you don't have to pay time for it, as opposed to running a cell phone where you pay time for it, or how much memory you use.
Yes.
And these are all things that are, you know, it'd be easy to say this was malicious, but as we walked out the door and my wife and I are looking out the door, I'm inside saying, does this work? And she's talking to some neighbors. And we live in a condo development, it's pretty big. And so 10 condos come with an eyesight pretty quick. This doesn't work. This stuff doesn't work. I said, I know it doesn't work. What are we going to do now?
Gee, that's amazing.
When it doesn't work, what do you do now? And so what finally happened is we verified that, in fact, we have a I wasn't here in this condo development last year. I was having medical stuff done. So I wasn't here when they installed the whole new digital Wi-Fi system and everything. So I didn't get any of the training on it. I was just having to wing it. And therefore, I might have known more if I had done that, although based on the way my cable TV works, I'm not so sure about that. but the point is, when people run into something that doesn't do what it's supposed to do, whether it's directions to make a recipe, or it's direction to drive someplace, or whether to click on this thing and that's supposed to cause a transaction to occur, and it doesn't happen, the result is chaotic.
Yes.
Now, take that vignette and keep that in mind as I talk about the wireless interruption that I talked about before, Amazon Web Services, when I talk about the cyber powerhouses like Israel, where they're embarrassed at the start of this war that they're involved in, and we got involved in with them, because they thought, pretty hack-proof systems, and it turned out they weren't. So they were embarrassed. And then you have what I call the times when common sense takes hold. There's a Chinese factory, and I know it well because I lived in Dayton, Ohio, and Moraine, Ohio used to be a big GM
area. Oh, GM, yeah.
And GM had multiple plants in that area, and one of their plants was a Chinese glass-making plant that made windows. Because one of the things that's making cars on mass production, I learned that the most advanced people, this is trivia, but it's technically fascinating. Both Toyota and Honda and others, I'm sure by now, GM and others, when they have a schedule for production, they don't just put it down in a calendar. They go back up the supply chain and get everyone in the supply chain to make the things that are going to be needed when they're going to be needed. It's called just in time. It's not a new concept.
Yes.
But when you hear what they do, and this is old information, because I was associate editor at Industry Week for a while, and I judged their America's Best Plants applications for 5 years, and I got to see what the best people were doing. And this is 25 years ago. But Toyota's in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's a couple hours from the GM plants in Ohio. They make the seats for all the Toyotas, all the stuff, the seats, the upholstering, the frames, the springs, they make all that stuff in that plant. And every time I ask people, do you know how much lead time that plant gets from the GM plant for their production schedule. They're going to fabricate the seat frame out of steel. They're going to pad it, upholster it, put all the springs in it, put the electronic controls in it, put it all together, put it on a trolley that they're all lined up in the order that GM's going to run them or Toyota's going to run them next time, and ship it. And the transit time from their plant is 2 hours. You know how much lead time they get beyond that? 2 more hours to do all that stuff.
Wow.
2 more hours. Now, the companies that make this stuff know that what I'm telling you is the truth because they're organized to do it that way. They only have two different seat frames. They only have four different upholstery colors. You know, they have done Toyota's done a great job of modularizing everything. But now think about this kind of a scenario in the age of AI, in the age of sophisticated, not exactly hacking, but malicious use of intelligent information, which is what hacking is.
Yes.
And the harm that could be done if somebody decides to use it maliciously that way.
Boy, the vulnerabilities are frightening.
It's mind-boggling.
And things you wouldn't even normally think about that would impact our lives dramatically.
Unless you were like me and you did a lot of things in your life and discovered what the capabilities are, and this is what's happening with AI. People are discovering what the capability of these things are and how fast they can turn things around to change the whole plan. I mean, I have a friend who's a brilliant young man. I've done work for him. Ironically, I was working for him as a consultant, helping him while he was trying to sell the fourth of his five companies that he started. And now I'm calling him for advice because he's way more advanced than I am now. And that's only 5 years ago, so 10 years ago. And he's half my age. But I was telling him some things I was trying to do. And he said, well, that's easy. Let me tell you how. He takes his cell phone out while we're sitting in a First Watch breakfast place. And he quietly mumbles into his phone, give me a schedule to produce, do this and do this and to do this and do this and do this and do this, make it for this and make it for that and make it for that. In not much more time than telling me to do that mumbling to you, he sets his phone down. It's on the table. He spins it around to me. And he says, there. I thought he said, look there. And there it is.
Unreal.
It's a step-by-step. It's a step-by-step process of how you could set up to essentially create a whole new set of rules and algorithms and everything to get a job done that was a very complex job. I mean, I worked with a lot of companies, many big companies, and it's amazing that some of the jobs that people do are not that complicated, and AI is going to kill those jobs right away.
Yeah.
That's simple. Malicious stuff is scarier. And that's where I encourage people when I say, read my book. I think you'll like the book. I think you'll like the story. It's about real people with real problems in a world that you can't believe this could be happening to them.
Well, it's a human response to a crisis. I mean, it really brings it down to the personal level, doesn't it? As John says, this is not a techie book where you're going to have to diagram and keep track, keep notes as you go. You will enjoy the story. You will enjoy sort of thinking what could happen and what each day, if you read the news, gets a little closer to happening. It's a little frightening. The Chinese conspiracy has the intrigue of John Grisham, the spice of Mickey Spillane, and the technical aspects of Tom Clancy. That's one review. Another one says, not since The Manchurian Candidate have I read such a compelling thriller about global conspiracy. But Mariotti goes much further, linking his masterfully fast-paced narrative to the clear and present danger of total cyberware. This novel is a call to action that our society must answer now. Just a couple of the excellent reviews that John has for the book, The Chinese Conspiracy. His website is thechineseconspiracy.net. Good information there. Breaks the book down, gives you all the information you need, and you can order it there as well. And you'll find the book, of course, available wherever books are sold, the audiobook as well as that John mentioned. this is the Chinese conspiracy. So we got the Chinese that are the bad actors in this. Are there any particular countries there that we should be concerned about that have the capability of creating chaos?
Yes, there are, of course, because the world's a pretty big place, but it's getting smaller and smaller.
Yes.
I try to spring to these things, not just stories that are out of my imagination when I was writing the book. As you can see, I have a bit of a devious mind when I'm trying to figure out how you can create trouble, because I know about all the ways that we create it accidentally. And so I'm reading now something. These are all from the last quarter of this past year. January 29th, Google battles Chinese company linked to a massive cyber weapon. Now, how's that? Yes. Did you expect that Google would be doing? Google used a federal court order to get dozens of domains belonging to IPIDEA, I-P-I-D-E-A, removed from the internet. The Unit of Alphabet said the security researchers say the mysterious Chinese company is an unsavory enterprise that sneaks unwanted and dangerous software on millions of computers, home computers, and Android devices. That's a lot.
There's about
75 billion network devices in the world today by most people's estimates. It's going every day, but 75 billion, that's a lot. And control of domains allowed Google to both shut the public websites and technical backend of the company, which operates using more than a dozen brand names. Google has also taken steps to remove hundreds of apps affiliated with the company from Android devices. Now, I could keep reading, but the point I'm showing you, this, I didn't make this up. All this stuff that I've learned in writing the Chinese conspiracy and rewriting it, they got to the third time before I finally actually went wide with it. But I have article after article like this. The Chinese conspiracy was written, and you know this, Rick, more than anybody. Its purpose was to expose cyber threats and to get people to realize, don't take them for granted.
Yes.
Don't assume that it'll all be okay. It won't. And it's like the if you see something that doesn't look right, tell somebody. Do something about it. And some of the most both aggressive, creative, and I won't say innocent, but maybe non-malicious. Here's another one. College student takes on cybercrime. He has solved the mystery of a massive cyber weapon. This is an article, just again, same, this is all stuff in the last 3 months. I don't go looking for these. I read the Wall Street Journal and I start look for things that catch my eye. And here's another story about a growing network of hacked devices was launching the biggest cyber attack ever seen on the internet. Are you kidding me? What's the date of this? April 4th and 5th.
That's as we're doing this, just a week ago.
About a real time report.
It is just totally amazing, and the time always goes by so quickly when John is with us, and we'll have him back, there will be many more things in the news that we can talk about that will frighten you. You get sort of numb to it after a while. It's like what picked up the paper today. Well, let's see what's going on that's going to scare me in the world, and believe me, there's plenty there. This is a fascinating story that will keep you entertained throughout, will get you thinking as well. John, talking about all of the tens of billions of internet-related products that are out there. Look up Internet of Things, and you'll see all these things around the house that you never really think about as being internet-connected and part of this vast network that's out there. It is frightening, and obviously something bad could happen, as John experienced a few days ago when everything shut down there in the community for a short while. John, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. And keep putting the research together and keep giving us all the information and bringing us up to date. Is there anything happening positive out there where you think maybe a governmental agency or a corporation is trying to get on top of this to put up the guardrails to prevent some of this from becoming possible?
The answer to that is yes, it's sort of like trying to we used to talk about herding cats, the difficulty of herding cats because we want cats to go where they want.
Yes.
Well, the problem with this is that the rate of development, a brilliant guy named Ray Kurzweil, many years ago, wrote a book called The Singularity. And in that book, Ray talked about the fact when the intellect of the computer concept, calculation and logic exceeded that of humans, which is a truly scary thought.
Yes.
But if you ever read any biology and you know how many synapses are firing in your brain every day to do common day stuff, you realize that when God made humans, he made pretty special devices.
Yes.
And so this whole issue that my biggest pile of stuff that I didn't try to slow it down because it was too big was on this whole issue of consciousness. And consciousness is one of the things that criminals get in trouble with. You know, many, many convictions are based on whether there was motive and intent. You know, first, not only could they do it or did they do it, but did they intend to do it?
Yes.
And what we have the challenge now is we have now got some tools that are in danger of getting out of our control. Now, you know, Ronald Reagan said it, the six most frightening words in the English language, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. and so I'm not going to say we need to rely on the government solely, but the government that we have in place now, as radically opposed as people are in the country are to it, in some cases, is doing many of the things. I mean, if you read and listen closely to what happened in the Middle East, and I read in close first, my granddaughter was over there on a trip.
Oh, wow.
When it happened.
She okay?
She was in Saudi. Yes, she thought she's in Saudi Arabia. She's a 32-year-old nurse who's the head of the teaching part of the nurses for Anchorage, Alaska Hospital, and she was there with several of her friends, and they were going from there to Dubai to a couple other places on a trip, and they were both pleasure and business because they were wanting to see how people were doing things over there, and this is common in human nature, and Emily's indomitable spirit that once she found that she could found a way for her and two of her friends to get planes to London where they were safe and sound and had could see the way to get to the U.S. they partied for 2 days instead of trying to get back home all of a sudden, and we laughed about you there. That's Emily. She, you know, she takes a crisis and turns it into an opportunity.
Nothing wrong with that.
But there are good things happening in many. First of all, the U.S. is starting to teach people more about how hacking happens. There are government agencies that have been reformed massively. We went through six presidents, and just as they're talking about, nobody did anything about the nukes in the Middle East through six presidents. Not a whole hell of a lot was done about cyber threats. Richard Clark wrote a brilliant book called Cyber War in 2008.
Oh, yeah, remember that. Wow.
Which I devoured, and at that time I was personal friends with a CIA, former CIA senior officer who had been in two places, Moscow in charge of weapons of mass destruction for about 8 years, and then in Southeast Asia. And he told me stories that you talk about chilling you, and this is 25 years ago.
Yes.
But the point is, there are people trying to do good things. There are people trying to educate everybody about what they should do. The reason they have this infernal way that you have to protect things with two things you have to enter in your phone, and passwords are a curse of our existence. I don't see an easy way out of this because the hackers and the miscreants can do it faster than we can fix it. And that's one of the things they're talking about. Having the AI people working on this is a good thing. They are actually saying that we need to put remedies in that can be implemented in machine time, not human time.
Yes, yes.
And when they start talking about that, that means they get it.
Okay, so that is a good sign.
So what our next discussion will be as I tune up my scanner for things that make me sort of not go to sleep very well at night or think about what else we do. And people say to me, are you going to write another book? And my answer is no, because what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to sort through all the all the bandits and miscreants who are out in the publishing and movie world, because I've turned on a couple of adaptations for books, because that world is another world entirely. That would take a show that would last about a month. But
yes.
But the point is, the answer to your question is yes. There are some positive things happening. People are getting to be more aware. They do tend to be better at it. They're still not good enough. The technical people are doing it, but the real challenge is to get the collaboration of the public sector and the private sector to work like it should.
Okay.
That's a mouthful. I won't say again. The public sector and the private sector. Back in the day, when the story was born, the public sector couldn't hire competent people to do what they needed to do because the pay was so low. And they had to be subservient to bureaucrats who were in elected office who lasted for 2 years. So they couldn't get good people. Now that's starting to change. That worm is turning. But the interest is Anthropic being one of the leaders who, as part of making up for the fact that they had to divulge that somebody had corrupted their robot, and there was the Chinese who did it. That's not a secret. Yeah. Koreans are probably the most technologically advanced nation that I know in the world right now from a computer standpoint, just because of their nature, and they're isolated, and they're right next to an evil empire energy person next to them in North Korea.
Yes.
And but every Ukraine used to be, but Russia is so busy blowing up Ukraine for no reason except to make sure that Putin feels strong. They're using up all of the resources to do harm. And the Chinese are still the biggest problem. The good news, close it on a good news. The United States is standing tall in terms of being one of the places that are doing more better things. That's not good English, but you know what I mean? More comma,
yes,
better things. And even though nobody likes to hear the idea that Trump is a crazy man, six presidents before him had a chance to put up with Iran nukes. And when he found out that they were within 6 weeks of having nuke-ready munitions, he pulled the trigger and shut them down. And they don't divulge all the background stuff, and you have to read really deep to see what they're saying about it. I hope it stop. I hope they can shut it off. The problem when you start shooting at people, it's hard to stop shooting at people.
Yeah,
and I don't have a solution for that.
It opens up a whole lot of areas there, and I'm glad that we closed this with some hope, a glimmer of hope out there that the people are aware and working on this. And it's always a fascinating conversation. And again, John Mariotti, his website is very simple. The name of the book, thechineseconspiracy.net. Book available wherever books are sold in any format you want. They will even read it to you so you can drive and not have to worry about traffic, enjoy the traffic and enjoy the book at the same time. It's all available.
I'll give a shout out to a guy named Ben Powell, who I chose to be the narrator for the audiobook out of 12 people that we considered.
Oh, yes.
And when you put an audiobook online, you have to make sure that there are no mistakes in it.
Yes.
So that means you have to read it. But I don't read it. I have him read it to me, and I knew the story, and I knew exactly what he was going to say, and God bless him, he found one error and fixed it before I even had to tell him about
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic!
And the other two or three things were minor things, a first name of somebody wrong or a little thing like that. But we picked Ben for his voice, because the voice sounds somewhat ominous.
Carefully selected for the topic at hand here, the Chinese conspiracy.
Hey, I want to give you a call out because you just were recognized again and you didn't say much about it in your introduction. Tell us about Podomatic.
Oh, we've been with Podomatic for years when we started this program in 2005, and they're the largest independent podcasting network in the world. Now, of course, you got the big boys out there. You've got the iHeart and Spotify and all of those, and Podomatic is there, and we've been with them a long time, and in the spoken word category, we vaulted to number one over the course of the last couple of weeks. So thank you for bringing that up.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Enough about me, but it was a lot of people behind the scenes here. Well, two that Otto and Sean that helped me get this done. And good guests like you, if we didn't have people that had messages, what I have to say means nothing. So I thank you for being on all of these programs and look forward to doing it again. And my guess is there'll be plenty to talk about. Give it a couple of weeks and we'll have much more to talk about.
Wait 2 or 3 months and there's more stuff that comes out. The good news is, as I told an investment banker one time, when I told him that my employer, which was Huffy Bicycles, had saved 3% every year, and that was enough to up our profit up to where it needed to be. And he said, well, how long can you keep doing that? And I paused with a pregnant pause, and I looked him right in the eye and said, forever? And he said, well, how can you do that? Haven't you found all the things? He said, what's the same next month as it was last month? What's the same next year as it was last year?
Yes.
Things are always changing. So God bless God, and God bless you for bringing this to people, because I know I'm not the only one that you talk to, and you do a terrific
important
job.
And you have written an excellent book, an entertaining book, and it's a call to action, giving us all the information we need. So I thank you so much for that. Take care of yourself. We will talk to you soon and continue. The book is The Conspiracy Theory. You'll find it at The Chinese Conspiracy. I'll get it right here, The Chinese Conspiracy. It's available wherever books are sold. Ask for it for the right name and they'll find it for you. And thechineseconspiracy.net is the website. John, thank you as always. Enjoy the rest of your day and we'll talk soon.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.